here at Bowmansville. To any folks that are watching via live stream, I urge you to come in person if you are able. It's hard to experience fellowship alone. This week, I heard David Shepherd speak on the radio, and he was talking a little bit about fellowship. He said, when we think about fellowship, most Christians, me included, you think food. In fact, we have a certain room or area designated as the fellowship hall. And now, that is an important part of it. Gathering around and eating together and sharing food together is important. But what's more important is having a group of people that you can share the good and the bad and the ugly with, and that they know the good parts about your day and week and the worst parts about your day and week. And it's a safe place where you're not, you know that it's not going to be gossiped about or spread. So that's really what fellowship is about. And we can all work on that. I think we can all work on being, you know, we say we're part of the Bowmansville Mennonite Church family or fellowship, but I think we can all work on our ability to be part of a real fellowship that that can interact in those ways. So, well, I'm going to turn it over to the worship team to lead us in a time of praising our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each person here today. Thank you for your love and for sending your Savior to die on the cross for our sins. We want to pray a blessing over the offering, Lord, and the tithes that have been brought before you today, Lord. We pray that they would go towards the needs of our leadership team and their training, that they would learn from seminars and classes that they participate in, and that they would gain knowledge to bring to this congregation, Lord, and also to the men and women's ministries that are in this church, Lord, that they would strengthen the people in this church, Lord, to know more about you and their knowledge of the Bible, and that they would share with others, Lord, in this community that they come in touch with at work and school and other activities, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. So, Father, we just thank you that we can come together this morning. We pray a blessing over Dwayne this morning. Give him all the words that he needs. Open our hearts so we can hear exactly what you're saying through him. Just help each one of us through the day. Keep us safe as we travel, as anything that we're doing. Keep us cool today that we don't pass out while we go outside. And let us just have a great time together. We just pray all this in Jesus' name.
All right, we're going to have time for the children to come forward, and we're going to have a little children's story, possibly. Oh, all right. Bernice, are you coming up? No? Okay. All right. Here they come. Great. Now, you guys are going to have to be kind to me, because I'm not as good at this as Larry or Tony is. I don't have much experience. So, but one of the things I thought that we would do, since I don't have as much experience, as I thought, you know, why not start with snack? You know, that's not a bad thing, right? So we're going to start with snack. Jansen here. We're going to start with snack this time. You guys can start eating if you want to. Yeah, you can eat them right now. I mean, right now.
Wait, where are we getting carrots?
Well, carrots are good for you. That's okay. You can give them to your sister. Now, wait. Sorry you didn't get carrots. I'm sorry you didn't get carrots either. So carrots. You like carrots. You know, there's some fun facts. Sorry, guy. Do you want carrots? I'll give you carrots if you want them. You sure? You're good? Okay. You can eat yours, too.
Why do they get something different?
Well, that's okay. You know, carrots are one of my favorite. Well, I don't really like a lot of raw carrot foods, but I do like raw carrots. They're good for your eyes. You know, what does Brian call this thing? No, Brian calls it a pocket computer. So if I look up on my pocket computer, the things that carrots are good for you for, see, carrots, it says that they contain fiber. You guys sure you don't want carrots? You can eat your cookies, too. So they're loaded with what kind of vitamin?
Can we eat our other carrots? Can we eat our other carrots?
Eat them all. You can eat them. You want my other carrot, too? Okay, you can have both carrots. Okay. Here, you eat my other carrot, because I got to talk. So carrots can help you lower your blood sugar. They have beta carotene, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, which there's evidence to suggest that can lower your risk of diabetes. And they can strengthen your bones. Carrots have calcium and vitamin K, both of which are important to bone health. Did you know, too, another interesting fact about carrots? That if you know who Bugs Bunny is?
Yeah.
You do? What's his?
I have a bunny at my house.
Bugs Bunny. He was a cartoon character when I was your age. I think he was a cartoon character when he was Willis Weaver's age. I think he was created in 1938. The first guy that drew him. Bugs Bunny always had a big carrot, not these little baby carrots. Now, they tell me that if you eat 10 carrots a day of the big carrots, like Bugs Bunny carrots, for a couple months, your skin's going to turn orange. How cool is that? You know? Now, if you eat them cookies, I don't think your skin's going to turn
orange.
What color will their skin turn?
Black.
Nope. They don't have any of that stuff in. Why do you think I gave them cookies instead of carrots?
So they don't turn orange, so they turn black.
No, that's not why. See, you guys are better than I thought you were. Because I thought you were going to say, I want cookies too. Oh, you do. Thanks for being honest, Ella. Oh, and you too. Well, whew, I thought I might have been the only one that wanted cookies over carrots. Sometimes envy, do you know what envy is? Envy is something when you want something that somebody else has and you forget to be thankful for what you have. You become bitter because you didn't get what they got. But you guys didn't do that at all. And because you didn't do that, or I'm going to let you have cookies too. Yay. But if you want carrots, you can take more carrots.
What? There's more cookies.
Let me eat these too.
Just take one or the other. Okay. You can go back to your seats now. You may have more carrots. Man, you got some healthy kids around here. Okay, you can go back to your parents now. Okay. They're busy eating. So when you're done eating, you can go back, I guess. Sorry if I have, like, carrots in my teeth or something like that, but when Larry called me last week and asked me if I'd fill in today, I said, okay. And then he said, we're starting a new sermon series, and I want you to, you know, I'm doing the first couple verses, and then you can take 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I'm thinking, did I say yes too fast? But there's a lot in verse 4, and there's a bunch of application. So if you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. I am not a real high-tech guy, so there is no screens with the verses on. But verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, and it does not boast, and it is not proud. So there's five things that we're going to talk about this morning. And those five things have a lot of meat to them, and we're not going to cover everything in them. John 13, 34 to 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, for you love one another. So in light of that, that's how we're going to be viewing the verse 4, is not the traditional ushy-gushy love as a couple, but as we love each other, as Christians love one another. So the first one says, love is patient. So patience, it's such a nice, tidy word. You know, we tell your kids, just have patience, we're going to get there. You know, you want your kids to be, when you're traveling, how long till we get there? Just have patience, you know, we'll soon be there. Or have patience with your sibling. And we say things like, just relax, you know, it's okay. It's going to be good. Just have patience. Well, King James says it a little different. Does anybody have King James? So King James would say, instead of love, it would say charity. And instead of patience, it says suffereth long. Well, suffering long is not the same as patience to me. But it might be a better description of what we're talking about here. Suffering to me equals pain and hardship and struggle. And you know what long is. You know, a bee sting hurts. But it'll soon pass. But we're talking about long pain, long suffering, the kind that maybe not physical pain, but it's more emotional. That's different. When we talk about patience, when we think about suffering long, the pain, the emotional pain, you might know of some relationships that aren't easy, but because of a marriage vow or another, because they're a brother and sister in Christ, we continue to love. You know, a lot of times we have these silly disagreements, whether it's cultural or just individual families here. I'm a morning person, and that might be because of habit of getting up so many years at a certain time. But I'm a morning person. I do better in mornings than I do in the evening. But that doesn't make it right for me not to have patience for somebody that's not a morning person. You know, in different cultures, you know, we Anabaptist German Mennonites think you got to get up early and go to work and do this. Boom, 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 boom. A certain regiment. But that's not necessarily the right way. Can we have patience? Can we not judge them? Can we let them be their person for how they operate, how they've been raised, and how it's not necessarily wrong. It's just different than us. So we need to have patience for one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15 say, it's Paul's final instructions to the Thessalonians. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient or long-suffering with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So that leads us right into the next item there is kindness. Who do you think of when you think of a kind person? Everybody probably has a picture in their head. So my picture in my head is Mary Horning, which would be Donna's grandma, who is no longer living. But there's a story, I wasn't there. Donna is kind of like in the middle of the grandchildren, but the young Bob Horning, Donna's uncle, was the youngest of the Hornings and got married last, and he was kind of on behind, so he had children last. Well, there's a story about, and I don't know if I have this correct, but it was for sure Murray, the oldest of his children, and maybe Melissa, the next one, they all are mothers now. But Bob and Karen went out for a date, and when they came back, Grandma Horning was babysitting. They came back. One of the kids was there with the baby powder going, and it was just a cloud of white everywhere. And Bob said, "Mom, what are you doing? Why didn't you stop them?" She said, "Oh, they were having fun." I don't think I would have. I would have been jumping on that right away. So we all have a picture of somebody being kind. The definition would be of being kind is having a friendly or generous nature or attitude. Do you ever see somebody in need? With flat tire, something else? A lot of these things, kindness, patience, they don't come naturally. For some of us they do, but for some of us they don't. Donna's naturally a kinder person than I am. When some things are easy, it's easy to live like that. Let me back up. So if you're naturally kind, that's great. But if you're not, if you're like me, it's not that I'm mean, I don't think, but I'm not naturally kind, I don't think. And with the hustle and bustle of today's world, it's easy just to live without being kind. It takes effort. It's if I see somebody with a flat tire, I should pull over and help them. But it's been a long day. Someone else will help. The list could go on. Somebody else will do it. Donna's dad was always good at, he was a truck driver, and he was always good at stopping to help people with flat tires. I remember, and we all have memories, I think, of when you regretted not doing the right thing or being kind. One of those for me, Floyd and Marion aren't here, but if you're listening, Floyd, you would know Curtis Yoder. Curtis lived in Missouri with Floyd and Marion, Curtis and Fern. I'm good friends with Lauren, their youngest son, and back in the early 90s, Curtis and Fern moved from Missouri into Pennsylvania because all their children lived in Pennsylvania. And I remember coming, at the time, I was working out in Gettysburg, and this is before the new, whatever you want to call it, construction, or the way Route 283 and 30 merge. There was just this little triangle before, where they all came together. I remember coming in Route 30, right there, and I look over, and there's guys with me, and I look over, and there Curtis sits in this little triangle outside his truck. And I'm like, that was Curtis Yoder. And I regret to this day, and I can laugh with him about it to this day. But I felt like I couldn't stop. I mean, I had to get the guys back to the shop. There was traffic. I'd probably have to go down to Fruitville Pike and then turn and try to get back there somehow. And, you know, Curtis was new to the area and needed help, and I didn't. So he's forgiven me. Like I said, we can laugh about it now. When I see him, I think the last time I talked to him about a year ago, I brought it up, and he laughed. We had a good time. But we all have those memories of when we should have been kinder. Just recently, about a month ago or so, Don and I were going down 222 southbound, and we seen a lady that was having issues, and we did pull over, and I backed up. So I'm not all bad. Donna got out so she wouldn't be scared of a guy getting out, and she was fine. She had already called somebody. But it's those little things, whether it's, we can be kind to each other, helping each other out when you know somebody's been ill or just being there, maybe mowing their yard when they have had a busy day or a busy week or whatever. Does not envy. Well, I think we talked about this in children's church a little bit. It's when we forget our blessings we have, instead of always wishing for the name brand or what John Smith or Susie Wilson has, instead of what God has provided for us. We can be thankful for what we have, what God has provided for us, and not be envious. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I did with the carrots, so we're going to keep moving. So love, it says, does not boast. Recently, I got done reading a book by Pete Wilson. Pete's a pastor in down in Nashville, or he was. I don't think he is a pastor there any longer, but he was a pastor down in Nashville. And the book's called Plan B. And if all of you didn't know, we're all living in Plan B, because our initial, what we thought life would come our way, bring to us, probably isn't exactly what our dreams were. So we're all kind of living in Plan B. But there's a chapter in here that he talks about Me Too. The chapter's called Me Too, and he talks about the winner's circle and the loser's circle, and how we all want to strive to be in the winner's circle. And I'm just going to read this here. This brings up an interesting point, you know. Most of my life, I've been trying to find my way into the winner's circle and stay there as long as I can. I grew up believing that that was the goal of life, to make it into the winner's circle, where I could celebrate with other winners in life and avoid the loser's circle if I possibly could. We get this message, I think, not only from the culture we grew up in, but also from the church. The cultural idea of the winner's circle tends to involve things such as a nice house, good kids, and a corner office. The church version involves being good, moral, respected, and spiritually successful, implying that only the really committed and the really sold out ever end up there. There have been seasons in my life when I've been in the winner's circle, both kinds. I can't tell you the deep disappointment I've experienced while there. Winners have a tendency to be shallow, arrogant, and completely dependent on themselves. They are almost always critical and judgmental. There's little giving or sharing. There's little authenticity. And too often you end up feeling as if you just won a bag called success that ended up weighing a ton but was completely empty. I've also been in enough of loser circles with people who were experiencing pain, hurt, and disappointment to know that they tend to be different. While people in the winner's circle are notorious for being judgmental, the broken people in the loser's circle are a little more reluctant to judge. Their plan Bs have reminded them that we all depend on the mercy of God. So here's the thing. We're a lot more likely to encounter community in the circle of people who have been broken. But unless we can get the idea out of our heads that winning is the goal of life, or the only thing that counts, we're apt to miss the community it offers. Unless we can admit to ourselves that we too haven't made it, we're apt to miss the community. Another way of saying this is that in order to hear a healing Me Too, we have to be real about what is going on with us. We have to be authentic in order to experience authentic community. So why am I saying this about being boastful? A lot of times we experience We have to remember who we are, that we're actually sinners, you know, saved by grace, and that we kind of live that way. We need to live that way and not put this false front on of that I've got it together and you don't. Or even just amongst us, we've all got it together. We all live in this perfect little winner's circle when we don't. I told Donna I wasn't going to do this, but I guess I'm going to. She knows what it is. It's just a little funny little anecdote here. He talks about the winner's circle. A couple years ago, I was at our neighborhood pool with my two oldest boys. It was one of those hot July days when it seemed as if everyone in the subdivision was at the pool. My middle son, Gage, who had a bladder the size of a peanut, came up to me and told me he needed to pee again. Now, please don't judge me for this, but at the moment I was engrossed in a very good book, and in a moment of weakness, I told him, just pee in the pool. I know it wasn't my wisest parenting move. About 30 seconds later, I heard gas all around the pool. I looked up from my book to see my son Gage standing there beside the pool with his trunks around his ankles and urinating into the pool. I threw the book down and said, Gage, you can't do that. He said, Dad, it got quiet. Dad, you told me to. And he said, at that moment, I wasn't in the parenting winner's circle. Now, that would be fun. That is funny. And I'm glad it wasn't me. Could have been, probably. But we all don't make the wisest decisions. We all don't always think things through. And he didn't. And he wound up in the loser's circle. But we need to provide grace for those that are in the loser's circle because we are there with them. Okay, moving on. Love is not proud. I thought I had a mark there. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So the definition of proud would be feeling deep pleasure or satisfaction as a result of one's own achievements, qualities, or possessions, or those of someone with whom one is closely associated. And the second definition would be having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. In other words, being arrogant. If we would look to our sports figures, there's a lot of proudness, arrogance that doesn't feel very well. Were you ever around somebody? I think the saying goes that they were all that and a bag of chips or something like that. In other words, they thought a lot of themselves. Maybe you were telling a story about an experience you had, and they trumped right in and told another story that they had, you know, that was just a little bit better, or they didn't give you space to be, not that you needed the focus or anything, but what corporately are we guilty, as a community, what corporately are we guilty of being proud of in a negative way? Not a, you know, there's a way to be proud of, you know, you're proud of your children's achievements and things like that. There's ways to be proud of. In fact, when I was looking at proud, the word proud in the Bible, the Old Testament exclusively looked at pride in a negative aspect, and in the New Testament, now there's a few occasions where it's negative, but for the majority of the things in the New Testament talked about Paul, mostly Paul saying, and I'm proud of who you are as a church and things like that. So that, I thought that a little bit interesting, but what I thought we'd look at in light of how we're looking at this as a community, you know, what corporately have we been prideful of? I don't think that's a word, is it? Prideful of, that might be negative. And I listed a few things that you might be surprised of. I listed, again, don't take me wrong or don't shoot me. Flowing waters, before and after, in our youth group. Why? I remember a distinct conversation with a friend, and he asked this question often. So what's going on at Bowmansville? You know, and well, what's going on at Bowmansville? We have this before and after school program, and there's this Bible study that meets Tuesday nights. It's called Flowing Waters. And, you know, at one time our youth group was pretty big. We can't rest on our laurels. Flowing Waters is a great thing. I love it. It's what we're supposed to do. Before and after, it's a great thing. It's how we're reaching families in our community. And our youth group is a great thing. But we can't rest on our laurels and say, you know, use them as... I hope I'm communicating right. I don't see any heads shaking. Okay, I see one or two. That feels a little better. We can't sit on things and be, you know, look back and say, this is, although, you know, it's okay to be proud of our heritage, but we can't rest on our heritage and live in spite of it or because of it. We have to be active. You know, things like pride, they can seep in like the tide. You know, were you ever at the beach? Thankfully, I don't go there a lot. Can you tell I don't like the beach? You lay your towel down, and eventually this tide just keeps coming and coming and coming until you're just about to get wet if you don't move. But you don't really notice it coming in. And that's how pride can happen in our lives. It can just seep in like the tide if we're not careful, if we're not aware of what's happening around us. So in Luke 18, it's a story of the tax collector. Luke 18, 9 to 14, the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to remember who we are. We're the children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. But we're also sinners that are saved by the grace of God. I think that's number five. We covered all five in verse four. The key to being true to this verse and its themes is to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I think we've all been down the road of knowing that I should be patient and long-suffering or kind, and you felt the Holy Spirit telling you you should do something and you didn't. Or that you're envious and you know you shouldn't. Or that you are boasting or proud. If we stay obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling us, I think it will go, I will go a long way in that. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word that you've given us, that is powerful and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord, I ask that it would pierce us and it would cause us enough discomfort that we want to change the things that we need to change. I thank you for guiding and leading us here this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Ask the worship team to lead us in a closing song. All right, you can stand for benediction. For all of you who don't know or haven't heard, the youth group has made it to Alaska. We had heard this morning that they were traveling on their way to the camp. That's all that I know. But we can continue to pray for them for this week as they're away, as they try to serve and learn up there in Alaska. So receive this blessing. Father, we thank you for each one here, and we ask that we would be the salt and the light, and that we would be your image bearers this week. Go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.